Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 554, Prefabricated, recorded live on September 22nd, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I am Godzilla T.
Yay, he's back.
I'm back.
Yay.
For better or for worse.
Hopefully for better.
Hopefully.
That's the idea, at least. It's good to have you back. We got to get filled in by South and have him on the podcast, which was awesome.
Cool.
So, yeah, we got to talk about the update for Anvil's Legacy and the Halo 5 Forge on PC. Sadly, I have to report that I have not got my computer up and running yet, so I still haven't downloaded Forge, for anyone who is wondering. But hopefully, as is kind of the typical weekend, hopefully, I can get it done. So once I get it done, I'll actually probably put out a tweet and it's like, hey, this finally is done after having the motherboard back for 2 to 3 months. Regardless of that fact,
maybe you can do a live tweet of the assembly of your computer.
That's actually not a bad idea.
The processor is in.
Yes, I might actually do that.
I've cleaned the thermal paste off of the heatsink.
Yes. I am now applying thermal paste to my CPU. I am now screwing in my heatsink. Anyways, might do something like that. It'd be funny. I think people might get a kick out of it. No. Hang on. Isn't the new big thing like live Facebook video or like live Instagram or live Twitter video now?
I have no idea. I don't follow that stuff. Actually, last I saw was Periscope.
Oh, there's new stuff since Periscope.
I think sure
Twitter
has
live video now.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Anyway, Twitter runs slow enough now, or as it is. Every once in a while at work, if I've got Twitter up, the browser just locks for 10, 15 seconds while it tries to load Twitter.
Are you using Twitter or TweetDeck?
Twitter.
See, I use TweetDeck. But then again, I also manage 5 Twitter accounts.
Yeah, I'm only looking at one.
Even still, like having it for just the one account works a lot better than just the Twitter webpage itself. At least I have found it that way.
Yeah, there was another problem I was having. Maybe I'll have to fire it up and see if that problem went away.
Give it a try or something.
What it is now. Well, Confail says it's Facebook has a live feed now.
Not sure what that is, but maybe I'll have to check it out. Maybe try something new.
I'll have to admit, if you do it on Facebook, I won't be following it.
I'll just do it everywhere. I'll just have 3 different devices out in front of me and have one that just goes to Facebook, one that goes to Twitter, and one that goes to, I guess, whatever other live thing I can find. Whatever the latest and greatest is in live notifications and live video.
Put it on YouTube, put it on Twitch, Beam.
Put it on Beam. Put it on Livestream, put it on Ustream, put it on Facebook, I think.
Yeah, MySpace is not the same as it used to be.
Oh,
I think
geez,
it's a website
MySpace?
development site now.
No, MySpace is still MySpace as it used to be. It's just a lot more music centric now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. We actually had a discussion about this on the podcast that we did last week, and South was talking about one of a band that he was a part of. I think it was during our Sunday recording that we did offline, talking about PAX stuff, and we got into the discussion of the social media stuff at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And someone brought up MySpace, and he went and he found like his old band's MySpace page.
Really?
Yeah, it was weird. But anyways,
I thought it had totally pretty much vanished.
Nope, it's still there. It's still there somehow, some way. But we're not here to talk about MySpace. We're here to talk about Halo and the little Halo news that we got, because I was busy at work and didn't take the time to actually notify anyone for doing a podcast this week, because I was going to try to do a specific topic and just didn't get around to it. So hopefully next week will be a little bit more of an organized production. But until then, we have a little bit of information that we got from Halo Waypoint and a few other places to kind of talk about and fill the airways for a little bit. First off, we have the community update from last week, which was titled Books, Browsers, and Big Team. So Big Team got a playlist refresh. They added some new community-made Big Team maps, which I still would like to see a studio-made Big Team map. I get the idea of sourcing community resources to get Big Team and let them make Big Team, but to me, there's nothing like a well-thought-out and developed map that has its own geometry and its own textures and all that stuff. And it would just be, I mean, every other game has had a map like that so far. Why not Halo 5?
Well, I mean, I understand that with Halo 5, they wanted on to focus on the 4v4 aspect. And I think with what they did, they just focused a little too much on it. I do agree. I wish there were some big team maps, some actual developer made big team maps. The Forge maps that they've got in there are high quality. They're good maps. They play well for the most part. I mean, some of them have bugs, but you know, all in all, they play really well. I was watching Duquesne just refreshed his map. It's, what was it? Entombed.
Okay. Yeah.
Gave it a new aesthetic. Looks really cool. It's a lot darker than it was. I would kind of almost give it more of a medieval look. You know, a lot of stone or, you know, cobblestone type look to it. So,
right.
I'm looking forward to getting in there and maybe getting a chance to play on it.
He's been doing a lot of stuff with the PC Forge and updating stuff. And I wish I had time to watch his streams because he makes some pretty good stuff.
I've been watching a few of the Forge videos and I've noticed one theme when it comes to the Forgers themselves. They bounce back and forth between controller and keyboard and mouse.
That makes sense, actually.
They'll do some things with the keyboard and mouse, and then they'll do other things with the controller. You know, like if they need to move something a large distance, they'll use a controller because they can move it faster with the controller than they can keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's nice that they're incorporating the keyboard and mouse into the techniques that they already use.
Yeah. I think it's just kind of another one of those, it's another tool to add to your list, array of tools already. So, and they've been forging with controller for so long that it's going to be, there's certain things that you're going to want to use the mouse and keyboard to really take advantage of those things versus controller. And whenever we were at 343, one of the things that Tom French said was, it was that he's still more comfortable with using the controller because they've been on that platform for so long, despite them working on Forge for the PC for a while, but that's still something that I hope PC modders that have worked on other games and tried to make stuff on other games come in and actually see this and take advantage of it and start actually tinkering it in and give some fresh ideas, because we've had this big audience that's been Xbox-centric for a long time, but with the PC availability now, that opens up doors to a whole nother audience that we haven't had in there for a while, or at least an audience that isn't quite as big, because we've had people like the CMT team and a few other people that have modded stuff for Halo Custom Edition and Halo 2 Vista with those modding tools, but we have an officially supported tool set here for within Forge for people to go in and do that kind of stuff. So it'd be cool to see that community start to really get behind this effort and really see what they're able to do.
Well, yeah, I've been watching some of Game Cheat's videos. He's already started doing custom stuff like, you know, he did with the other Halo games, like Halo 3, Halo 2, combining vehicles. He actually found some files pertaining to some vehicles that may or may not be coming in future rec. It's just kind of, it's really neat to see what this is coming, you know, with the release of Halo 5 Forge, what the community's doing with it. It looks like that the modding community, you know, has access to what they need, and it'd be interesting to see what they do with it as well.
The only thing is, it's like it's not fully modding like it is for Halo Custom Edition or Halo 2 Vista, where people are going in and actually making maps from the ground up and making their own weapons and their own vehicles and that kind of stuff. It'd be cool if we could see Microsoft support something like that on the PC specifically in the future. I think their idea of trying to keep a lot of things Xbox-centric and Xbox-compatible is going to prohibit them from doing that.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to see some kind of toolkit that would allow people to do that. For example, you have Fallout, which has the I think it's called GAC, which is a full modding suite that you can use to make your own campaign scenarios, make your own characters, make your own landscapes and maps and all that stuff. And there's a lot of really cool mods out there for Fallout, and we have a lot of creativity within the Halo community as it is already, that it would be something that a lot of people, I would assume, could really take advantage of and do some really awesome things with.
And they're actually supporting those some of the mods on Xbox.
Are they?
Yeah. Fallout, and there was...
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about Halo, but yes, Fallout they are.
For Fallout. So, I mean, it's something that could be in Halo's future if Microsoft and 343 decide to develop it.
I mean, it's a hope and dream. I doubt it's going to happen just because it is Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that would be really cool if it actually did happen and had the chance to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting as the modders get more familiar with the Halo 5 Forge, what they do with what they have. Like Game Cheat, he's only had it for a couple of weeks and he's already done quite a bit with it. A lot of it is reproducing some of the other vehicles and stuff that he's created before, but to be able to get in there and do that it's interesting. I understand that Microsoft's probably never going to officially support it, but it's just kind of neat to see what they do. I always liked looking at the mods for Halo 2 back in the day. I even considered building an Xbox so I could run those mods. Never got around to it. Once I started digging into it, I found it was above my skill set considerably. So, I decided not to, but it's still neat to find that stuff, find videos of it, and watch it. The release of, with the release of it on Windows 10, I think the maps I've seen so far that have been produced on it are really, really good maps. Granted, with the controller, they were producing really good maps as well. But I think it's just going to make them a lot more efficient when they're building their maps with the PC version. And I think that's the biggest benefit to the Forgers for now, is just being more efficient with their time to be able to generate more content in a shorter period of time.
And it would be really cool to have some of that. I mean, because in Halo 4, we had some of those kinds of mods that ended up kind of getting support in matchmaking, like the Mini Spartans game type.
Well, that was a mod that was used internally at 343.
No, that was something that someone hacked together and then made available on the file share, and then they took it and adapted it.
I thought that's something 343 developed.
Nope.
Huh.
Nope. Someone saw the glitch in, what was it, Firefight, Spartan Ops, and then people started kind of tinkering with how that happened, and they hacked together a game type where they could do that, and they did the same thing with making oversized Spartans as well. So they kind of adopted that game mode and kind of made it into their own, put it in like the Action Sack playlist.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know on the Spartan size, there was a tool out there that you could download that you could do that with. You could make those modifications. There was also a tool for Halo 3 that allowed you to customize, the weapons, your starting weapon, how many grenades you could carry, how much ammo you could carry, things like that.
Yeah, there's hex editors out there that can override some of the restrictions that the game engine puts on what you can actually set in the settings.
Although I have to admit, the giant Spartan thing doesn't work very well.
No, it
tends to overload the map a little bit.
And you also have an issue of actually shooting the other player, whereas if you're minis, it's not really as much of an issue.
No. The maps that I played with oversized Spartans or whatever, they always were real laggy. The oversized Spartan never moved very smoothly. It would jump from point to point, and it affected everything else on the map too. And then there was the whole physics portion of it that the game just never could figure out how to deal with the physics of that hard, that extra large Spartan.
Yeah. Big team, refresh, awesome stuff. But next on the update was stuff about the content browser. So there's a little word in here from Vincent Hui, who is the UI design lead, who kind of gave an update of why the content browser was a little behind schedule as far as they were concerned of getting it implemented. Apparently, they were trying to go for a system that was similar to how the file share was in like Halo 3 and Halo Reach, but it didn't really satisfy their needs because it required a lot of different button presses to get to certain things that they wanted to get to. So they kind of went around and built an all-out content management system in a way to where you could actually search for stuff like you would on Reddit or Yelp or Pinterest or stuff like that. So they got some feedback from the community on stuff with like what you kind of would want in a search engine like that. So they developed it, and it is what you have today with the content browser, being able to search with tags and being able to customize stuff, put images to certain things, and overall just come out with a final product that honestly works pretty well.
I'm really happy that they let you put your own images on there, because that makes map identification a lot easier.
So much easier. It actually makes it possible so you know which game type is actually the one you're looking for, or which map is the one that you're looking for.
All you have to do is match the pictures.
Exactly.
It seemed to me the bookmarking portion works a little bit better. Of course, on the opposite side of that, they have a little problem with custom games at the moment. I'm sure they're working on it. They may have fixed it. I haven't been in any custom games since Friday. So, but it seems like the bookmarking problem with the map and game type has been corrected, where you can actually just use the bookmarks and not have to pick the game type first and then go back in and pick custom game type.
Yeah, because that bug has been there since pretty much the beginning of the game, right?
Yeah. So it looks like they fixed that one. Of course, you know, I've got limited experience with it, so I could have just been lucky.
Maybe they did. They fix one thing and they break two others, right?
Yeah, isn't that the way it goes? Take one step forward, three steps back.
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of the norm, right? Mm-hmm. But beside that, we have a couple other things in the update. There's a couple other kind of developer short things in here. There's one of the environment artists that was talking about Temple, which is the new Warzone assault map, kind of talking about the design and how they want it to be kind of Sangheili temple ruin type of location, which this is probably my favorite Warzone assault map so far. Granted, I haven't played on the attacking team yet, so the defending side is kind of what I've been exposed to, and it's pretty fun on that side. I did get trampled off of the first base when defending, but we actually managed to hold the second base, which was awesome. It actually was a pretty well hard fought one, but so far that one's my favorite. Once I play on offense, maybe that'll change, but it's a really cool map. I really like the Sangheili architecture just because it is pretty rarely used in the game so far. I wish they used it a little bit more in some of the other maps that they already have out there, but to see it get incorporated more into the content that they're providing is really cool.
Yeah, definitely. It adds something different than the purple or gray aesthetic.
Yes.
Or the puke brown aesthetic. I like this Sangheili map, and probably one of the biggest things that I like about them is that they kind of feel lived in. They don't feel like this pristine, clean place. You know, it looks like there's been a battle going on, and they've done a really good job with it. I like it.
That, or it's just kind of like an old site of that hasn't been used for a while, or that got abandoned for some reason or another. And then we also have what's the other one that was based off him? Mercy. I think we actually, in the update last week, got a little bit of a developer concept behind that. So if you want to know a little bit more about that one, check the update from last week. But we also have some screenshots that were made from people kind of using the new Forge stuff, which is really cool. That's actually at the bottom of the list, so it's nice to see kind of like screenshots back in there. Don't know if that's something that they're going to be doing weekly. I think that last spot is something that they're changing up from week to week, but we got screenshots this week, which are pretty neat. There's a red versus blue one. There's a like a paint splatter effect one. There's like a down the scopes one, and there's kind of like a griffball inspired one with the hammer. That's at the end of the update. There's also some favorite Forge prefabs that the kind of the Forge and community team came up with as their favorites. First one from Tom French was a unicorn mongoose, which looks pretty much exactly like the description says, unicorn mongoose. They have a cone and looks like the front of a ODST drop pod that's colored, and they welded it onto a mongoose, and then they have something on the back of it as well. So that was his favorite. There's one from Unishek, which is a prefab kind of medieval house type of structure, and it's green screened in the back. But that there's actually been a lot of structure prefabs I've seen in the content browser lately.
Mm-hmm.
People are doing some crazy things.
Yeah, there. I was watching Forge Labs, and they did a Slayer map, and the artist of the Slayer map has on his file share a bunch of Victorian style buildings as prefabs. You know, the cobblestone streets, things you would, you know, associate
that you wouldn't expect in Halo.
Yeah. You know, prefab fence pieces, things like that. And they've done a really good job. They've done prefabs for windows, so you can place windows.
I am just personally astounded by how creative people have been in Forge, and just utterly amazed with what people are coming up with. I honestly, it's beyond me just how people have been using Forge in ways that you couldn't even imagine when you just think of Halo. It's ridiculously crazy.
You know, some of it's silly, some of it is absolutely unbelievable that they did this in a video game.
Yeah, and it's not designed in a 3D program or textured with extra texture files or anything. That is just what is available in the game to use.
I mean, you get down below the picks, which, you know, Bravo picks the CE teleporter.
Mm-hmm. Nice,
it
classy.
It looks convincing. It looks just like the one on Blood Gulch.
It does.
It is, to me, it's indistinguishable.
Well, the frame's a little bit different.
Well, yeah, a little bit. But if you're just walking past it, you're not going to see that difference, especially if it's set in a wall or something like that.
Right, and you can change the frame around it, but the effect of the kind of wall, the green wall effect, is pretty convincing.
You've got guys making couches.
Yeah.
A closed refrigerator. And it looks like a refrigerator.
It looks like a legitimate old-timey refrigerator. So yeah, that's one of the other things at the bottom of the update that they have is someone advertised like a fine Forge furniture sale.
70% off.
Yeah, it's kind of like a like something that you see in a circular type of thing. And they have a corner sofa that's purple that's $499, and then a love seat that's $399, and the closed fridge is $799. It's just ridiculous what people come up with and do. I mean, just the furniture aspect, it's like you made furniture in a military sci-fi shooter game? What?
The creativity of the community never ceases to surprise me.
I am just baffled every time I see something like this, and I wish I had the time to go and make something, but it's just, I mean, these people are dedicated and talented and just overall impressive.
Mm-hmm.
With the stuff that they make. Maybe I'll try making something and maybe it'll stick out. Probably won't, but if you have the chance to try something in Forge, it's never a dull moment to start now, especially with it on the PC. There was one more prefab that Vincent Hui, which was the UI lead for the content browser that we talked about a few minutes ago, Milton the Potato Head was one, or I think, yeah, it's called Milton, so but it's like Mr. Potato Head, and it's like welded to one of the toy grunts. It has the glasses, it has the nose and the top hat and the eyes. So it looks like a legitimate Mr. Potato Head in Halo. Let's see. In the update, they also talked a little bit about stuff that happened from PAX and stuff that they talked about on the live stream. They have a picture there of someone actually in a Master Chief outfit playing Halo Wars 2 at the Xbox booth. And then they also have a picture of the Fro 5th when they were doing the photo shoot, which I still have those pictures to go through. But speaking of those pictures, the RTX pictures that we took back in July are finally up and available on our Facebook page. So you can go check those out. Fro 5th is always a pleasure to hang out with and get to talk to and just marvel over the creations that they've made and made come to life through everything that they've done. And the turnout was really good at PAX for them this year, so it was awesome to be there.
That's cool.
Yeah. One day I'll make my own Halo armor. One day.
One day.
After doing a bunch of other stuff first. I'm looking at my bookshelf and looking at my stack of Mega Blocks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next thing on the update was the HCS Fall 2016 season, which started last week. They're actually running those games on Thursdays. I think Wednesday. They're starting them on Wednesdays and then running through Fridays now. I'm not exactly sure what the schedule is, but week one started off last week, which Evil Geniuses took down Optic Gaming to take the first week as far as the league standing goes. So congrats to them for that. Week two is actually going on right now, so while we're recording this podcast. So we have a little bit smaller audience now, so we actually might move the podcast for a number of reasons as far as the live streaming is concerned. But for those that are interested in the competitive stuff, which I know we need to get someone on here to actually talk competitive and go through all that stuff, that's going on over on Twitch, over on Beam, over on YouTube. I think those are the three different streaming services that Halo is using at the moment. So you can find the broadcasts on all three of those platforms, as far as I'm aware. They also have a little piece in here about the Warthog being in Forza Horizon 3, which we talked about a little bit already last week. As far as the merchandise stuff goes from Halo, there's some new merch that has been made available. Some that's up on the Halo store right now, some of which is, I don't think, out quite yet or is coming out soon. But that includes stuff like the Boomco shields for all that kind of goes along with the Boomco blasters. So if you were at San Diego Comic-Con last year, Stony Props made some kind of like helmets and vests that people wore during the real life breakout arena, which the way the stuff was made, the darts would actually stick to it. And they kind of took that design and licensed out to Boomco to make those kinds of shields. So there's red and blue shields, so you can like do differentiation of teams, and you'll be able to pick those up pretty soon. I know that they've already started appearing on store shelves. And I don't know if they're available for like online order yet, but if not, they should be pretty soon. So that's coming out, which I'm looking forward to getting. I'll probably get four of each at some point just to like have it to where if I ever want to do a shootout with friends, then we can do that.
Sounds like fun.
I'm going to go broke from Boomco and Mega Bloks, or just Mattel in general. Thanks, Halo.
Going to have to go for that second job.
Yeah. Whatever that second job might be.
Just to feed his habit.
But we have a couple other things as far as merch goes as well. There's some new shirts that are out there. There's some buttons. There's a few new belts and a few other things to get yourself over at the Jinx Halo store. It's nice to see some new stuff in the store, actually. I know they were doing a big clean out of stuff from their store back in, I want to say, August. They had like a sale on a bunch of different items because they were kind of getting rid of old items and making way for new stuff. But again, new belts, new hats, new shirts. There's some buttons, which I'll probably end up getting. Stickers, figures, and a few other things that are up there now that weren't before. So you can go over to HaloWaypointStore.com to check out all the new stuff that they have in the store. And then also to wrap up the update from last week, which this is now out on bookshelves or shipping, is Halo Fractures, which is kind of like the next iteration of Halo Evolutions, which is a bunch of short stories pulled together. So it's a collection of quite a few short stories. I haven't even had the chance to count them, but they include the short story that Frankie did, Saint's Testimony, which was a ebook only thing to start off, but that's being included in this one. And there's a few other authors in here that people will probably recognize. I think I just counted 13 different stories included in Halo Fractures, written by people like Matt Forbeck, who did New Blood, Morgan Lockhart, which she was part of writing the story on Halo 5, Joseph Staten, Frank O'Connor, Troy Denning, Brian Reed, and Kevin Grace all have stories within Halo Fractures. And then they also announced two new books coming to the Halo universe. Halo Smoke and Shadow, which will be written by Kelly Gray, and Halo Envoy, which will be written by Tobias Buckel. So two new books to add to the never-ending list of books to read, of which we determined before we went on the podcast tonight that I have 5 books I haven't read yet in the Halo, I guess, library, but there's another term for it.
Beyond me.
Anyways, so there's new books coming. Fractures is out now. Halo Mythos is out now. If you haven't had a chance to pick them up already, you can pick them up through Amazon. Just make sure you go to our website and then click through to Amazon to go through our affiliate program and get your stuff that way. Also, Confal, who's in the Twitch chat right now, said that the Halo Monopoly is $13 right now over at GameStop.
Cool.
Which is 2/3 of what I paid for it, being at $35 to $40 when I first bought it. Anyways, and that wraps up the update. Lots of different stuff in here. There's the screenshots. There is the Big Team refresh. There's the content browser stuff. A little back history behind the temple map. Prefabs highlighted by the community and Forge team. And also a little update from PAX West last week. So if you haven't already, go ahead and check out that browser. That update from last week. There's only a couple of other things as far as news is concerned to cover. We mentioned this either, I think, on the last podcast or the one before, but I'm pretty sure it was on 553. But they've been doing actually, it was probably 2 episodes ago, but they've been doing different rec packs for the mythic weapons, and there's a new one out right now for the Norn Fang. So there's been 3 other ones before now, which you can still buy the old ones with money, but you can only get the current ones with rec points. So it's 100,000 rec points to get the mythic rec packs through the game. But the one that's available right now is the Nornfang.
And with those packs, you get the certification for the weapon, and then you get, I believe, 10 of them.
12.
12 of them.
12, yeah. It's a lot.
So if you really want 12 Nornfangs...
12 of them.
I haven't used the 4 I've got, so this is a pack that I won't be getting.
It's kind of sucks that you can't trade rec cards.
Well, I mean, or trade certificate, yeah. Trade rec cards, yeah. I don't even know how you would even accomplish that, because everything I'd want to get rid of is stuff that everybody else would want to get rid of, too.
Oh. Well, like, there are certain power weapons that I don't typically lean towards, and there's other ones that I use quite often, so it'd be kind of like a trade-off of that kind of stuff.
Although, right now, I probably would be willing to trade a Norfang for about a dozen Scout Hogs. I have just about ran out of Scout Hogs.
I don't use Scout Hogs.
I use them in Firefight. They're perfect when you get like kill Gret levels or something like that. Kill Crawlers. You just run around, run them over.
See, I use Ghosts for that.
Well, when you only have one wreck level, because it's the first round.
True. Very true.
I mean, yeah, when I have enough to get a Ghost, I'll use Ghost. But they generally show up in either the first or second round, and a Scout Hog just works worked really good for that. Although I think they've made a modification to either the physics of the Warthog or the enemies. Because I ran into a group of crawlers the other day, and it flipped my Warthog. Just like I'd ran into a rock.
Yeah, the physics have always been wonky with those, from what I've kind of known the game to be, though. It's never been a straight...
Since they've changed the crawlers to have that area of effect when they die, the little explosion, I've noticed that, when I run over crawlers, it does tend to lift the vehicle. But this one, it caught me off guard. It literally it flipped the Scout Hog and threw me out of it. It was just really strange. I don't know if I just killed too many of them once or what. Anyway, running around the map splattering stuff's fun. And a good way to get wreck.
Yeah.
Wreck level.
You'll go through enemies like crazy and up your wreck level really quick. Really quick.
It's not uncommon for me, if we get a kill enemy first round, where by the end of the first round, I'm at wreck level 3.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a really good round, I can be almost a 4.
Nice. There's a couple of times where I've been... Well, I guess it depends on how well I'm playing that day, but probably half the time I can get to wreck level 3 by round 1, and I can get to wreck level 4 by level 2. Sometimes, if I'm playing really well, wreck level 5 by the time that round 3 starts, at the end of round 2. Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
I want more wasps.
Yeah. I me too. And I have the certification for them, but they don't come that often.
Yeah, in they
direct
don't.
Packs.
I think the most I've gotten at one time is like 3.
I had 4 at one point.
Well, I meant in one of my rec opening videos.
Oh,
the
gotcha.
Most I got in the whole video, which is, 20 packs, is 3. It's not very good odds.
Yeah. Well, from all the other certifications that you get, it's one of those things where it's like, not probably going to happen very often.
The certifications are great, but the more certifications you get, the less likely you are to get your certifications or what you got certifications on, or at least the stuff that you want.
They need to come out with rec packs that are themed. So have like a vehicle pack that instead of maybe 10,000, maybe it's 25,000 rec points. So you can either spend less to go with something that's more truly random, or you can go with more and kind of guarantee yourself that you're going to get a specific set of recs that you're going to want more of. I think that'd be a great idea.
That probably has more game-breaking potential than being able to just actually pay cash for rec packs. Because now, if you do like a vehicle-specific pack, there's a lot of vehicles that are a low rec cost that can cause major damage.
Yeah, but there are equally weapons that can take those out.
It does boil back down to skill. You have to be a skilled pilot or driver to make them effective. But like I said, that goes back to our rec pack discussion.
Yes, it does.
I think, something like that would have more potential to do what people are afraid of, where it almost becomes pay to win.
I guess you're right.
Something like that, if they're going to do a specific pack, like a weapon specific or a vehicle specific, I think it needs to be only purchasable by rec pack or by rec points.
Right. Yeah.
That would make it where you have to play the game, you have to be successful at the game, and it would help curtail the amount of packs that you can purchase. Especially if they came with an additional cost of, like 25 or, 30,000 rec points.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you kind of balanced out the ecosystem that way to make it where it's like by the time you're getting what you would get in vehicles of opening normal silver or gold packs, you're not spending as much, but you're still spending a little bit more to get more of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's just kind of a little tangent there.
Side note.
That's it for the news. I think we're starting to get to the point with Halo and that there's not going to be any news for a while, at least for Halo Wars 2 stuff, that we're going to kind of start to transition more towards community content stuff. I know next week we're going to be, once I actually make the effort to contact people, to get some Machinima folks on for those that were on the live stream last week, or if you're listening to this, there was a couple of episodes ago that we mentioned that we got an interview with Miles from Rooster Teeth, who is one of the producers and writers behind Red vs. Blue now. So we got to talk to him a little bit, talk about his background in animation and directing, which was actually pretty cool. But I want to wrap that in with a machinima discussion. So hopefully next week we can have some machinimators who have worked in Halo 5 and made some videos there and kind of kick that off and then start to go in towards the community content. And back in Podtacular's ancient history, we used to do four different types of shows. We used to do an update show, a customs and call-ins, a Tales from the Foxhole, and then it was a community update show, and then like a official news update show type of thing. We've tried kind of getting people to send us stuff before, and we haven't been very successful, so it might be something where we just kind of pull resources from other groups and start trying to just pull things instead of asking for people to send us stuff. But if you're listening to this, we do have an email box that is specifically set up for user submissions for us to discuss, and we haven't had anything hit that email for a long time. But since we're kind of in a lull state, what I would like to start seeing people do, if you guys are interested, is starting to share stuff with us. And I know like the whole email thing is probably something that not many people are used to doing much anymore, so it might be something where we just kind of go on Reddit or go on Halo Waypoint and pull stuff from those communities, or put polls and stuff up there and try to get people to do that. But if you have anything particularly that you would like us to see or talk about, we definitely would like to hear anything that you guys would like to send our way. And you can do that by emailing us at submissions@podtacular.com. You can include anything as far as it's Halo related. So it can be something that is screenshots or stories or machinima or game modes or Halo fan art or anything that's Halo related. We would like you guys to send us that stuff so we can talk about it and really find some other content for us to fill the time, unlike tonight, which we just kind of read through news and haven't done anything else for it. But that's kind of the idea, probably going from here on forward until we actually get some more substantial news. But even after that, trying to get back into that community focus of Halo content is some direction that we would like to go back into. Speaking of community content, though, we have a new video for our Achieving Halo series, which got posted this past week. And Mr. GT is also looking for another round of Spartans to help him out with the next set of videos, which will be Genesis, right?
No, Evacuation.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. I jumped ahead one.
Yep.
So Evacuation, mission number 6. So if you're interested, Godzilla T is going to be running that this Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
That is Saturday the 24th, just in case you're listening to this after the fact. But if you do want to join in and you miss this particular one, send me a message. I'll put your name on the list and I will get you in.
With the Achieving Halo stuff, I think I'm also going to start reposting those in native format on like Facebook as well, because we do have a small community over that follows us kind of more on Facebook than on Twitter or YouTube. So I'm going to start reposting them there as well. And then also hopefully get around to posting some of the other photo albums that need to be posted here pretty soon. Again, the RTX photos are up on our Facebook page, and you do not need a Facebook account to see them. They should be open to the public without having a Facebook account. And you can find our Facebook page over at podtacular.com/Facebook, and it'll be the latest post up there, minus any podcasts or news article posts from WordPress, but it's the latest photo album up there. And you can check out all the different photos we have from Griffball Hub and the 405th, and then the couple other handful of pictures that we took when we were in Austin. So make sure you go check those out. You can also check us out on Twitch for those of you who are listening to us via download. We do our shows live on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Time is subject to change here in the coming weeks. We need to talk about some stuff on the back end, see if moving it is actually going to be beneficial for us. But it's been one of those things where with them throwing the updates out on Fridays and us doing the podcast on Thursdays, by the time the podcast comes out, we're already a week behind on content. So we're probably going to move that around a little bit to try to get that something to make that is something that's a little more relevant and also kind of feel out the week a little bit differently. So that may change. Stay tuned. We'll let you know what changes and how it changes. You can also check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and we already mentioned Facebook and YouTube. And we also have a Discord chat, which you can come and chat with us. It's fairly active. It's been a little bit more active and a little bit more productive than any other kind of collaboration thing that we've done before as far as IRC or forums. So that's kind of our latest thing to actually talk with each other as far as the Podtacular community goes. And you can find any of those by doing podtacular.com/whatever the platform is. And if we have it, it'll take you right to it. Make sure you also check out our podcast network. We are part of the podcast.net. That is podcast with a K. And it includes other podcasts like Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast. Critzcast, which is a Team Fortress 2 podcast. The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast. And then Work in Progress and How to Murder Time, which are a little bit more variety shows. But they are excellent podcasts to listen to. Great production value. Great hosts that talk on the shows and actually provide some entertaining stuff, whether it is talking about news or community stuff. Really recommend that you guys check them out if you haven't already and let them know that we sent you. Also, a couple other things to mention. The Loot Crate theme for next month has been announced. Next month as in kind of being end of October/beginning of November. It's technically beginning of November because the crates were supposed to come out at the beginning of September, but they ended up shipping out early they should shipped early and ended up coming out late August. But the theme for that one is Battle for Earth. So if you missed out on the first crate and want to hop in on the fun stuff from seeing all the cool goodies that people have received through their crate, then you can head on over to lootcrate.com/podtacular. And then at checkout, use the discount code PodTacular and you'll get $3 off your first crate, which is just about 10% off the crate. It's just a tiny bit less since the crate's $35. Unless you get a plan, I believe the 6-month plan is $34 a crate, and then the full year plan is $33 per crate. So you can check that out there. And then I think that's it for all the different stuff that we have to announce. We do have one slot that opened up in our Spartan company. So if you're looking to get in and play with us, you can head on over to podtacular.com/company and request to enlist there. We did get our Achilles armor just before PAX West happened. So again, thanks to everyone who helped us attain that. We are on our way to getting the helmet, which is going to take a lot longer. But we already have 3 of the 31 commendations completed, believe it or not. We actually got 2 of them done before we actually got the armor piece. But the ones that we had to get, I mean, they were kind of the easy ones to get once Firefight came out, and that was kill Covenant enemies and kill Promethean enemies, and then kill or assist in the killing of bosses in Warzone. So we have a good number of them that are already in level 5, and then a good number also that are waiting in level 4. So there's actually some good progress being made on a lot of these. I think the lowest one that we have right now is Forgot to Pay the Toll, which is kill the driver of a moving enemy vehicle while using the sniper rifle. And then the other lowest one that we have is kill an enemy Spartan with a headshot. Kill an enemy Spartan with a grenade. Sorry, I missed that one. But those are the 3 bottom ones.
The grenade one I can do. The whole taking a driver out with a sniper rifle, yeah, not going to be much help on that.
That one's a little difficult, right?
A little.
Yeah. So we have those to look forward to as far as getting the helmet. There is quite a bit of effort to get the helmet, but we're doing pretty well, actually, as far as getting going towards the helmets. It'll probably be a while before I get there, but we have 3 of the 31 done. So let's just keep on cranking it out. And yeah, that'll be it for the night. Short podcast for now. Hopefully next week will be a little bit longer, and I'll actually get some people on to talk about some machinima. Again, if you guys are interested in sending us content that you have that's Halo related, please let us know. Again, submissions@podtacular.com. We would love to hear from you guys, and hope to see some cool stuff come from it too. Godzilla, it's good to have you back again. South was nice to have on and get to actually introduce him to our audience, but it's nice to have you back in the hot seat with us.
Why, thank you very much, Rust. I hope everybody enjoys hearing my voice, although it's not near as much fun as listening to Brent speak.
I hope we hear back from Brent someday. I really do.
Me too. I miss talking to him.
I do too. I tried to reach out to him on Facebook and Twitter every once in a while just to see if he like kind of seeps back in to the ether, but no dice.
Yeah, he's kind of stepped off the electronic landscape.
As far as we know, yeah. But regardless, Brent, if you're listening, we miss you. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We will be back again next week with another podcast, and Godzilla T will be back on Fragging Fridays tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and then on Saturday for Achieving Halo for any of for any of you that are interested in participating. So until then, keep on fragging Forge.